pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Our guest today is an Indian film musician, flautist, a well-recognized stage artist, producer, and music conductor. A perfect choice for this Women's Day special. Ashwini Kaushik is a popular flautist from Bengaluru. Some of the highlights of her illustrious career are, she's recorded for over 180 film tracks and background scores in Kannada, Tamil, and Telugu films. She has to her credit 3,000 plus live shows as a flautist with almost all the leading artists from South Indian cinema. She's also the lead flautist in some of the musical reality shows in Tamil, Kannada, and Bangla. Her consolidated views on YouTube count to over 50 million. Ashwini Kaushik's debut orchestral stage production titled Ilairaja and Insight in 2019 was a sold-out event and went viral on YouTube, garnering more views than the original tracks. Maestro Ilairaja invited Ashwini to record in his new studio for his projects after watching her perform. Recognized as the perfectionist who comes fully prepared and as the only artist who has a ready script bank of over 8,000 tracks across genres, languages, eras, and composers, she has performed across the country and is very popular with show organizers for her ability to draw crowds. Listen as Ashwini shares her journey as a woman who made her mark in a man's world. Ashwini, I have always seen you as a woman with pride, a woman myself. Every time I host a concert and I see you amongst all the men so gracefully playing that flute and the notes being even more tuneful because you're playing them, gives me a lot of pride and honor to have you as a friend. Welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty. I'm really honored you're here.
Thank you so much for having me here for your podcast. And it's really an honor to talk to you. And I've always found you so inspiring when I see you on the stage, when I see you talk to the crowd. In fact, for most of us, whatever we play is rehearsed and we know what we are doing. But for you, it is so spontaneous. You need to manage. The dynamics are really very different. And I'm really a big fan of you that way. so nice to talk to you here.
You know, whenever I see you there, the lone woman amongst all the men who are playing, I always wondered that I should sit with you one day and ask you, what prompted you to take flute? And what was little Ashwini like? I know Ashwini now is very friendly, confident, bold. What was little Ashwini like? And to the Ashwini Kaushik that the world knows you today as, and what was your journey? Where was it? How was it? Please take us through that story.
Sure. I was not very keen on doing anything, frankly speaking, as a child. I wanted to keep playing all my life, you know, just so very playful and not very keen on. I was not a very topper also in the school, nor that did I have a passion for something or any of such things. I was that cool going girl. In fact, the surrounding, the society, all the people around me actually shaped me into what I am today. my father was the one who was too keen that I learn something. Because my sister, she's the elder one, and you know the elder people typically are the good girls of the house. Okay, so they pick up things whatever is told in the house. They do all the things well. So we have to keep up to that standard of the sibling. And she's a violinist herself. She works in income tax office. She's an inspector there. So she's that superwoman who looks after the house, goes to work, then she performs everything. So that's where the whole thing was like, she's 8 years elder to me. So she used to be much ahead of all the things in life. So for my parents, they always used to say, see, she's learning, she's doing so well, she gets prizes, she's going for concerts, and you're not doing anything, kind of. So it was more of that escape strategy that I used. And I told, because I had a harmonium at home, there was tabla at home, there was violin at home, and in the surrounding, there were no flutists to teach, nobody. So I said, I'll learn flute. So convenient escape. But then maybe it was destiny that soon we had a flute teacher in the neighborhood, and he used to play flute in the evenings. And my father was like, you were saying you want to learn flute? No, see, there's one person, let me take you there. And again, I thought there was another chance. Just because there is a flute teacher and somebody is playing, if I go, they will teach as if. And even if they teach, I should be able to play, no? Oh, I said, okay, let me go. And when I went there, he said, okay, you're 7 years, 6 years old. Okay, let me give you a flute. Let me see if you can even blow the flute or not. And then the very first blow had the sound. He was like, Are, she can pick up. She will play. Don't worry, you go. And that's how the journey started. And when I used to go to the classes also, he used to have a tough time because I used to carry off his children also, all the students outside the house to play while he's teaching. And he has to come hunting for me, saying, hey, all of them have to study and you are here on the road, play, come, let me teach you. And he used to have a rule for not more than 1 hour, you should stay, you should go back, or else you will spoil all the others also.
Okay, and, you sound like a solidly naughty kid. And always looking at ways of moving away from what the world wanted you to do.
Exactly, so, exactly.
And when this journey with this flute teacher began, how did it become serious for you? And when did you know you're falling in love with the flute?
For me, playing flute was not very difficult because I had already had this passive learning from my sister. I just had to convert all violin lessons to flute. So it was not a, it was a known terrain. So for me, it was really very kind of, it came just like that because all the lessons were by heart. She used to sit and play. So more than me, she used to work hard. And by whatever I used to listen to her around, because I used to be around her. So I used to get all those things. It was a known familiar pieces that he used to teach. And that really made it very easy for me. And for him also, because I was really a little girl and he used to, he couldn't scold me. He couldn't, because that's an age where you, it's not that you understand something and it's not that you don't understand anything. It's an age like that. So he used to teach. And by the age of eight, he asked me to apply for a scholarship called CCRT. It's a Center for Cultural Resource Training. This scholarship is given from the Government of India to about 100 students who pursue to learn Indian art forms. Any, it can be any Indian art form. In that, they choose only 100 of them every year, and they give scholarship to learn that piece of whatever the art that they are learning. So he asked me to just apply for it. And the interview was in Chennai. And amongst about 10,000 applicants, I got the scholarship that year. And that continued up till my graduation, till about I was 21 years. Every year I used to get the scholarship, and there used to be renewal every year. I had to go attend that renewal where they used to see my progress, if I'm progressing and if the parents are supporting for whatever the money the government is giving. So that really was a rigorous thing that started, and it fell in place. And it was like my parents also didn't feel like diverting me into anything else, because that scholarship was there, the support was there. And every year there was an appearance for some exam kind of a thing in front of a forum. And they used to kind of randomly ask all sorts of questions to see if we are progressing in practice and all of that. So somewhere all those things added. And in the school also, I started performing. And there used to be that I used to become the teacher's pet, because that extra attention is there. And I could take off whenever I want. All of them, those things, that attention, the claps that you used to get, all of those things really made me kind of, even then till about, I was in my high school and college also, I was not really kind of, I knew I can play, I'll perform, but I don't think I was that very passionate till that moment. It's only when I had to kind of choose if I have to do a course in somewhere, if I have to look for a job, if I have to get into engineering, or if I have to do something else, that's when I really thought, no, music will be this thing in my life. And that's when I went on to learn flute in Chennai. Every week I used to go to Chennai and learn flute from Mr. Dr. N. Ramani.
Oh.
And yeah, so that's how everything shaped up.
Wow. Because Dr. Ramani is an inspiration for anybody who knows even a little about Carnatic music. You truly are blessed. When it comes to being the performer you are today and the most sought after performer, when did you decide to make it a profession completely?
Actually, to begin with, my parents and everyone around me were not so very happy that I was saying that I'm going to take music as a profession. Anything beyond the parents' understanding, if you want to pursue, if you want to do, I don't think they'll be very comfortable with it, because they don't know what that's going to be and how it's going to be. So there was that resistance was, of course, there in my life. And for them, they really wanted to settle me off in one family where I can kind of don't bother them in their old age and all of that. But then I was also kind of not very sure, because I didn't get that kind of a support from them. So I was really, really rethinking on what I have to do, whether I have to really get in. I did my BSc in physics, chemistry, mathematics. Father and mother were like, if you don't study science, according to them, you're not even a human being. So I had to kind of forcefully, with a lot of pain, I did BSc. And then I was still contemplating what I have to do. Though I was parallelly doing a lot of Carnatic kacheris and all of those things, I come from a very orthodox background. So for them, I couldn't even think beyond a kacheri platform. I have to be back by 10:30 max. kacheris were all okay. I used to do a lot of kacheris in Chennai also. I have shared stage with Vellur Rambhadran, and then Kanyakumari has played with quite a big musicians of Carnatic music. But only when I met my husband, that's when he's the only person who gave me that, who made me realize what I really am today. So he's the one who was like, wow, you have so much of talent. You just can't be playing Carnatic music here sitting in one place. You need to explore other faculties of other genres also. And he started getting me a lot of these cassettes, CDs, and all of those things. And to begin with, I was also not very, because I have never heard to those songs. Like, it was only one or two movies that I had seen in those 25 years of my childhood, or whatever you call it, teenage. One is that Malayamaruta, and the other one is Shankarabharanam, because it was the most that classically inclined movie. So he got me a lot of these cassette CDs of many kinds of music, which I'd never understood anything. He used to actually sit with me and forcefully make me listen to it. And it's only over the period of time that I started feeling array, this is so nice. And why did I even miss out on all these things, all these years? And so that's how I started also playing. There was initially apprehensions. V5 will be able to fit into that kind of culture. And it used to be really overwhelming when I started initially playing. Because I used to see people suddenly come start dancing and they're all screaming and all of that. And I used to start crying. Oh my God, what's happening? Because I'm used to seeing people sitting in one place and they're just clapping like this. And then all of this kachari, typically kachari is just about that. But then finally it happened. I'm glad it happened, whatever happened.
Yeah, so when for you, who was used to playing to a kacheri crowd and now coming into a crowd that can go wild with music, what were the first yes. few shows like? Like, did you enjoy it? Did you question yourself? Because for women generally, when we take or make that shift from where we are and we are comfortable in that space and everybody around us is happy we are in that space,
yes.
And from a family that you said is very orthodox, to move into something so different, which nobody had explored till then around you, it must have been a huge shift, a huge change. So at that point, what did you tell yourself? Because Ashwini, at the end of the day, I think whatever we do, we need to be comfortable doing what we are doing. So what is it that you told yourself initially in that shift that helped you sustain yourself and reach a point of enjoyment and the cult following that you have today?
There was one point when he left no alternate for me. He said, stop playing Carnatic music. You can't play Carnatic music anymore for me. So that's how everything came to a standstill. But for me, whatever it is, I had to keep playing. I couldn't stop playing whatever music it is. So I told myself, whether I play Saregamapa in this form or that form, it doesn't matter unless I'm playing what I'm playing. And even for the very common basic song like Banalu Nine or Navaduva Nudiye, I had to sit and write down, oh, this is Pallavi. Okay, this comes twice. Because I did not know any of those songs. Each program will have about 30, 35 songs. All the 35 are new to me. It's as though I'm listening to it for the first time. And people around me were really thinking, are she even this is a drama or what? She doesn't know. How is it even possible? But that was the truth. That was the truth. So I wanted to keep going. That's all. And the kind of people I met once I made up my mind that I'm going to play these things were also incredible people, because that's when I realized if we really from deep within, when we think of doing something, the energies around and everything falls in place. We meet such people, we are in that right place. So I really felt I need to react to that. I need to kind of respond to whatever is happening and keep going in spite of all the discomforts I used to have. I used to stand and play because they used to feel all men are like, they're all sitting. If I also sit down, I can't be seen. So I am a short girl also. So, no, you stand up and play, it's okay. And I used to wear a sari and only play because I never used to be comfortable with any other kind of costume. I kind of used to make my mind that whatever happens around, I'm just playing these notes, all these things only, and prepare myself and go like that. But then I realized the kind of love and affection I started getting from the audience and also the co-musicians who started supporting, that I would have missed something really big if I had not taken that step.
I know. You know, today is Women's Day and you are my guest with a lot of intent that I was really hoping you'd say yes and dates would all fall in place for us to do this conversation. Because whenever I host concerts and I see you there, it gives me so much of my own there kind of a feel right from the time I didn't even know you, but I saw you for the first time. And amongst all those men, the lone woman standing so gracefully, elegantly, playing the flute and not getting jittery or disturbed by any kind of audience applause or reaction, but just lost in your own art and savoring that moment, enjoying that music, which for me is something that I've always admired about you, Ashwini. You seem so, like in Sanskrit, there's the word, no, sthita pragna. You seem so steady, immaterial of what's happening around you. And you're just playing the notes that you have in front of you. It's amazing to see a woman stand amongst all of them. And every time you stand out, literally and figuratively, literally for the way you're dressed, always in Indian outfits, invariably a sari, and figuratively for being the only woman who's bringing out the melody in whatever song the singers are singing on stage. So as a woman, when you see your journey to reach a point where you're so comfortable with who you are, I'm sure that journey must have in itself been something of a huge learning for you, right?
It is, because especially in Indian setup, many things are taken for granted, that you need to cook. You are the representative of your family, whatever the culture, your tradition and everything. So by default, it is that you go a little deviate yourself. Then you're like, oh, our family, what is this? Everything will kind of, it doesn't sink well. And also that all people around you, the consent of the people, the family is very important. And you can't think beyond that. If they are not comfortable, then you know, even if you want to do, you think twice. Because when I started playing for film music and all of that, I used to come in this DD Chandana every weekend. So my father called Kaushik and said, she's gone mad anyway. I know my daughter. But what has happened to you? What made you let her start playing? So I was like, really, I didn't know how to react to that, because for a parent to get parents' consent, then the in-laws, then your husband, and so many things are there to think. But then somewhere we are taking too much upon us, saying that these things really matter. But after some time, it really doesn't matter. That's what I feel now. They all will fall in place once they know that what we are doing is what we will do. And they'll really come to whatever, they accept the way we are. And they'll eventually start understanding what kind of person we are and what we want to, what we are trying to do and all of that. But that really takes some time. Yeah. To go through the whole process is something that really is.
And what were you telling yourself at that time? And people around you were not understanding, and people who matter to you, your family, when they did not understand it, what were you telling yourself to keep yourself going? Because I think at that time, we become our best friends. We very easily are our biggest critics. But to become a best friend is a journey again. So what were you telling yourself to make sure that you are strong?
See, there were two extreme setups. One is the place where I used to go and perform. The people used to come talk so high about me. They used to praise me so much. There used to be people who come and say, if I had a daughter, she would be like you. So that's when I started replacing all my parents, in-laws, everyone else, my brothers, sister, everyone else with them. Okay, if my father is not there, someone else is coming and telling me, you know, so God is sending someone there to replace the whole setup. It's just not that whoever it is, you are praised for what you're doing. In fact, it's not even a praise. It's an acknowledgement that you're getting, that you're on the right track. What you're doing is, it's not all that very kind of, it's not bad or it's not something that you should not be doing. It's good. They are also people, you know, they are also old enough and they also know what's happening around. And when they say that you're doing something good, and over to whatever is happening in the personal form, that's where I could easily evaluate, saying they are taking some time to kind of identify, because when personally, I myself took so much of time to accept whatever I am and what I am. So for them, it is much more difficult because they are much more old and they don't know the scenario. They don't know how the career path is, or they don't know what is in for me. So it's only going to be a temporary phase. So
yeah, true. Because you know, when you take the road less taken or not taken, there is nobody before you to show you the way. And then
yeah.
you're making your way as you're going on that road because you don't know what's ahead. And that's what you have done for yourself. And in this journey, okay, so from Carnatic, you moved into film music and playing with different groups of musicians. And when you started getting into those performances, what was Ashwini telling herself as she was moving there? Because you didn't have a mentor as a woman around you. It was mainly the men around you. And naturally, if you're the lone person there, you're far more cautious.
Correct, yeah.
How did you tread that path to reach that point of confidence that I can handle myself?
I till date, all the shows that I have done, it has never been a musician's choice. I have always been a event organizers or the audience choice that I am there. So it's been a lot more difficult because they never felt, for musicians, it's clearly a man's world. They will definitely want to have another man there sitting with them because he is the one who will run the family. He is a friend to him and he knows the situation. And they have so many things, which is very valid. I really don't want to dispute any of those things. So we always don't come as the first choice. But when there is an event organizer or when there are audience, when there are these organizations which feel that if I am there, that those tickets will sell, or so they invariably have to have me in the place. They can't really say no. So that's where I fit into all kinds of groups and performances and places. So they really will not take me into that niche or circle of theirs unless they know that I am really performing well and I live up to their expectation as well. And that will be really very high. It's going to be, if a man doesn't perform one day, if a person, they'll have 100 things that they can accept. Hey, his wife was not well today, he had to go somewhere, he drank yesterday, his mood was not well. But we can't give those excuses at all. In spite of all the things that we deal in the personal front, there we have to perform and show. And each time it's going to be a new, it's like a first performance only. Or else it can be really very easily brushed off, like saying, "Are we know these women, no, they can't be very stable each time they have their own." So if we shouldn't allow them to talk like that, then we always have to be on our toes and always be that.
Because yeah. The pressure to perform is
yes.
really huge, really
yes.
huge. And when it came to this program a few years ago that you did on Ile Raja, a tribute to him, and you had shared that with me, I was completely shocked that you're going to curate such a huge event, because Ilaraja has such a wonderful body of work. And to justify him is next to impossible. So there's so much that you need to do. And when you had shared you'd be doing it, I started looking at you very differently from that moment. But I was also very curious, though I could not be part of the program. I was really, really shocked with the videos that came out. And I was so proud with the output, because the audience reaction, the feedback on Facebook and other social media channels was amazing for you, Ashwini. So what made you take that huge step? When did you realize, and how did you realize? Because women always doubt ourselves. What made you tell yourself that you can take that kind of a huge canvas and play around with it to make sure that the audience would definitely love it? So I would love to know that journey from the seed of the inception, the concept coming into your mind, till you actually brought it alive on stage.
Yes. For me, from transitioning from Carnatic music to film music and whatever music that I play now, Ilaiyaraaja sir's music made a huge impact, and it helped me in shaping up and coping with all the techniques that was not used in Carnatic music. Carnatic music clearly is one form where you don't use much of those techniques, are very limitedly used. Everything is theoretically taught, and we speak of so many ragas, so many things, graha bheda, shruti bheda, so many concepts are spoken about, but they are not put into use as a performance. We use one kind of a shruti flute, and the whole of the concert of whatever 2 or 3 hours is played in the same pitch. We don't do any of those pitch changes. So one flute, one way of playing, and all the songs are, the expression broadly is about bhakti, and it's the emotions are, it's not huge, it doesn't change so much. It's broadly in the same bracket only. So, but when I started playing other commercial forms of music, I really felt, especially when I used to go to the recordings in the studios, when they say, and you see the movie without the background score first time, and they say the hero is coming from there, he will take 28 seconds to come. There is one girl standing there, she should feel happy seeing him. Come on, play the flute there. And I used to be like, oh my god, you give me 28 minutes to play a raga, I can play. But what do we play this 28 seconds? So that way, that used to be kind of really, that kept me thinking, all the 20 years of my learning, did it really go waste? Because 28 seconds I can't give music. And whatever I played, they did not approve. Because no, when that boy comes, the girl should, the heroine should laugh. She should feel. So that feeling should be, because there's that silence, he's walking around, and all those emotions should be expressed in music so that the audience feel, and he's coming and the girl is, oh no, she has fallen in love with him. Without words, they have to express the whole of the thing. So that's a really very challenging thing to do. So how do I do it? I was really kind of broken apart. I felt like I have to really sit down and rework on all the things that I thought I knew about. And especially for Carnatic musicians, you will have the added ego saying, you know, culture, and you are the ambassador for it, and you have that thing. All those things were shattered that day. So how do I learn the things? The only way I thought was to see the movies and learn from it, from the older movies. So I started seeing a lot of movies, started imitating, stopped there. I played something of my own, then listen to what is there in the original background. See if I can play the same thing that the other flutist has played. If I can't play, then again scratch my head. How do I play that? How the expressions come? And all of those things, kind of, that's when I found Ilaiyaraaja's music to be an encyclopedia, where you find anything and everything you want, he has given it there. From Western music to folk music to Indian music, using different ragas, using different scales, using different techniques. And he knows what kind of notations to give for a flutist, what kind of notations to give for a violinist. And exactly it is there. It's like, you can't think of an alternate music other than what he has put. It's, that's very authoritative, and it's so very cemented there. So when I started seeing a lot of his movies and started playing those flute pieces of whatever he has played, those things helped me a lot when I started translating that into the works that I'm doing outside in the industry. When I played in the recordings, each time they used to like those things a lot. Are, yeah, this madam, this is like very nice, you play like this on similar things. So I caught on to the pulse. I started getting to know the pulse of how I have to play for a movie, or the how a commercial music is woven into the place. So that's when I kind of felt, if I do a show, then it should be about Ilaiyaraaja's music. And only a musician can express and explain to the crowd what it means to play Raja's music and what he has done to the industry. No one else can explain other than a musician who can kind of explore those things. And that's how I thought I have to do this show. And fortunately, it really happened so very well. In fact, we were the first people to kind of go and give him the rights that he was kind of fighting for, then that he has to be given the performance rights and all of that. And he was really happy and he blessed. So I think it's his blessings that made all that a very big difference in the show, and for whatever the reactions that is there, it's all because of his blessings.
Wow. Now, since you've done so much deep study and music is in you, it's part of who you are, the air you breathe, the thoughts you think, everything is in music. When Ashwini wants to just spend time with herself and music, what are some of the songs Ashwini plays with her flute? Because your flute is your expression.
More than me sitting and playing, like in the sense of practicing or playing for myself, I really kind of feel that we are more of this performance-oriented people than development-oriented people, as Indians are. So when the choice was that I have to take up music, that hush in the family, the whole people always asking, hey, where did you perform then? Oh, are you free today? What's happening? Oh, you came Saturday. Saturdays, people usually perform. You came for the wedding today. You're not performing. When is your next performance? We don't see you on the TV. We don't see you on the newspaper. So much of, and they create so much of apprehension in you that you desperately want to kind of perform somewhere and prove that, okay, you're also there. And but then over the years that I have been playing so much, I've started beginning to believe that performance or what you earn doesn't actually make you what you are. It's not the measure for what you are. There are a lot more things that a person can do knowing music that you know for. There are so many, when we play, when we record music, there are so many softwares that's available. There's so many accessories that we can see. Who other than musicians can create these things? And we don't find even a single Indian in this development mode. We are always performing, performing, performing. And there are so many, especially Indian music is so rich with so many ragas, unlike the Western counterparts. So these things are so very less explored. Even the way it is taught, oodu tumma jora oodidre sound barate, is not the way of teaching flute. So, and nobody has even tried to scientifically think how it can be coined and how it can be reached out. It's all in the name of 17th century Tyagaraja, 14th century Purandaradasa. If you start off with something, they go back to that 16th century, 17th century, and till date, what is happening? Modern music section not explored at all. So this is where my whole I keep pondering about these things. What new can be done? What are the developments that can be done? If there are, because so many ragas, there are so many VSTs that are coming out. There are so many kind of loops that are created. But these ragas are not explored because they don't know all of these things. So if these things can be put into the real world usage and all of those things. So that's something that really keeps bothering me a lot, rather than eventually we have to play some music, so some songs, some things we learn, we do practice.
Yeah. So now that you're in this very philosophical but very important questioning mode, I have a question, Ashwini, for you. What does the flute mean to you? What is your relationship with your flute?
Flute is just an extension of myself, is what I'd like to say. It's more like, till the date I saw that this is the flute and this is me, I have never had that kind of connection or with the audience as well. Only when it became an extension of myself into that whole thing is what made me who I am. And people identify only then that this is Ashwini, or else I am nobody.
Yeah.
So it's that. And there are so many things that I still don't know about it. And I'm still trying to find out. Still happening. And the more I'm digging, the more I'm fascinated, the more surprised, the more frustrated sometimes, thinking, "Are, why didn't I even realize this for such a long time? Am I such a dumb person to have taken so long to realize?" So it's such a simple instrument, but yeah, it's so much of things in it.
Okay. And if you can share one thing, which was like your biggest aha with the flute, because like you said, it's a very simple instrument. One reed of bamboo, and then there are holes in it. You breathe into it while you stop the air going out from all other holes. But with that, the seven notes and the magic of music that comes out of it, what was your biggest aha with the flute when you started establishing your relationship?
During my course of learning, I learned from one Vidwan, M.S. Srinivas Murthy here. He taught me for a brief period of about 1 year or something. But then he used to kind of say, music is within you. It's just that I have to remind you of all those things you've forgotten in your past life. So I'm just kind of trying to remind you, is what he used to say. And I never used to get that connection at all. And he used to blah, 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 say so many things. From sa, pa will come, from pa, da will come, from da, ni will come. So many things he used to say. And then I used to kind of really get confused with the classes that he used to take. He used to kind of come for about brief 20 minutes of class he used to take. Then he used to go off. And then he used to say, if it is there in you, if you get someday, you will get, or else you won't get it. Even that he used to say and go off. So it's during all those times when I used to struggle for techniques in the studio for playing for the films and all of that, that the things that he taught me 10, 12 years ago suddenly came up to me that day. And it happened. That's when I felt, oh my God, it was all there. It was only that I did not give so much of thought to it and really did not focus on. It's only when that necessity that creates the whole learning. It's, I don't think there's anything other than I can replace the whole thing with that.
Wow. So, yeah, that's very true. You know, that's when you start realizing small things, yes, and statements you just tell you become life lessons itself.
Correct.
And which was the first movie that you played for, Ashwini? Do you remember the moment when you got the call and how the journey began, where you started playing for films, from the Carnatic flautist that you were to the performer that you did with a few musicians to playing for film music, and the journey continues?
Yeah. I began playing for this D.D. Chandana.
Yeah.
They used to do one program called Madhura Madhuravi Manjulagana. It used to come every weekend.
Yeah.
And that show was like, it was a public show for the public. Hmm. They used to have a good set of musicians and orchestra, but anybody from the public could come and sing. That's how it was. They used to go to villages. Even the newspaper wala, the farmer, and even the milk lady, everybody used to come and sing whatever song they used to sing. They used to come and say, okay, I'm going to sing this song, Panch Me Habba, then we have to play that song. Or else say, no, you don't know this song, I'm going to sing Nota Dagen again. Okay, we have to play. That's how random it used to be. And it used to be a 5 or 6 hours of shooting that they used to do together from evening 5 o'clock till about 10 o'clock in the night. And the crowd used to be their own family members, the singers, family members and all. And that used to be a huge crowd because every village from all the neighboring villages and all people used to come. About 40, 50 singers singing 50 songs in the whole concert. The previous day used to be the rehearsal. So we had to kind of gather all the notations, and I was like, as you know, I told you, I didn't know many songs. I had to kind of sit there, write it down, play, sit there, write it down and play. That used to be kind of the place I used to play. And every weekend they used to show this performance. And since the singers were all so very new and they were not very, they're all amateur singers. Musicians were shown like there was no other choice to show the performance. So they used to focus us a lot. And every weekend I used to be shown on the TV. And all the producers that come from the rural area who wish to make films, who think film is something, their dream is to at least do one movie in their lifetime. And those kind of producers used to come to Bangalore to record music. And they used to ask the music director to call me. Because they know the face and they know whom they are dealing with rather than calling someone else whom they don't know and all of that. So that's how all those people introduced me to the music directors. So, and the music directors can't really say no to the producers. So they say, okay, let us try. What is there in trying? So when we go and perform well, that's when like, are, madam, email neve bani recording, you please come. And for me, especially when I go for recordings, I really do it very fast, very quick in recording. Because I had a son back at home, 2 years old. Somebody is there waiting for me to come back. So I had to finish in 2 hours, 3 hours time. So no nonsense. I don't want to go take a puff or I don't want to go drink anything. So just go do the work and come back. That also people felt was really very good part where people work gets done quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's seen as a professional completely.
Yeah. So that's how I started recording a lot. My first movie was this Vandarla Muru. Vandarla Muru was the first movie I played. And that was a struggle. Definitely it was a struggle because you see the movie without music. There's nothing in it. And they ask some random things are asked to play. And then that should give the life to the whole scenario. And to grasp the whole situation in that short period of time and to express is something that I really struggled with that one movie. After that, I caught on because I knew what I was into and what people expected and what I had to do. And many a times I also discovered that not all the things are known to the music directors. Some of the things even we can say. So you do not have to be that very scared. Recent releases, Vandu Sarala Prema Kathe.
Okay.
That has caught on a lot with Arman Malik's song. Neen Yarele is that song. And that's a very huge hit today. And I've played flute for that.
Okay. And, you know, now that you're talking about all of this, there came a time in the period of everyone's life, just recently, where we had to take a step back called the pandemic.
Correct.
Everyone had to start their race all over again. We were all pushed back inside and we had to take a huge pause. Now, this podcast was also born around that time when I was looking for people who have gone beyond themselves to make a difference. And that's where the stories started moving on with these conversations. What are your reflections from the pandemic? What has the pandemic taught you, Ashwini?
Pandemic was the busiest time, I should say. Because my mother-in-law was not well. We've had never been together as a family till then. So that was the time when we got to spend a lot of time with each other. And to top onto it, when I was really relaxing, chilling out myself, I got a call from Raja sir saying, you have to come for a recording. So that freaked me out. 2 years of not playing and directly going into Raja sir's studio.
Wow, what an honor. Huh?
Till then, I used to kind of, that was a time when I got a lot of time to practice, sit and work on many things that I didn't know. So I had seen a lot of videos of him demonstrating in the studio. So I used to kind of imagine whenever SPB sir is around and he is in some shooting or something, he keeps telling how this shootings or how the recordings of Raja sir happen, how he teaches and how things. So that imagination has always been there that this must have been the case. And any flute piece I listen to, I used to imagine he must have told like this to the flutist. So then only that flutist would have played like this. Or else how can he play? And all the things I used to have in my mind. And that day when I got a call, I was, I didn't even sink into me that it's really happening to me. And so it was the best part of my time, I should say, because I was equipped for what I was going through. And then that recording also was a beautiful one. About 4 days I spent in the studio where he used to come give the notation. We can't really believe that he's that 80-year-old man. He's so informed of all the technology around, all the things around. He has everything on his fingertip. It's like the tempo, the pitch, the things that he's saying. Oh my God, it's a bliss to be there. So a lot of things happened during pandemic that way. So I didn't know I can cook so well. So I cooked a lot. I have always been a very famous, I'm a famous cook for cooking this barbecue, you know, I'm a specialist. Yeah, because I burn things a lot. The dosa is on the tawa and I cook. Write song before I write a notation, it's all barbecue.
Already cooked. Okay. So if you have to talk of some special moments in this journey, some unforgettable people you have met in this journey, how would you sum up your amazing journey, Ashwini?
One such person is SPB, sir. SP Balasubramanian, sir, is the one who really taught me how I should kind of get myself prepared for any show. He comes prepared like he's as though he's doing the first show. He himself has sung so many of all the songs that he'll be singing in the list are the ones that he has already sung originally. But even then, he listens to it before. Oh, this song, okay. He'll make notes of them. He comes prepared. He asks people around if this is right. What he's counting is right. Oh my God, those things I don't think anybody will do today. They really... that since they have only sung, they can take the liberty of saying, all right, today I'm going to sing like this. But he has never been that original pitch, the time, keeping up with the time. Oh my God, he used to be on time. If the concert is getting delayed, he used to ask all the lady members of the team, like the chorus singers, or if I'm there, he used to say, are you comfortable staying? Is there anybody to pick you up? Then he used to call up personally asking if we reached home because it was late. All these things are something that really, and he's so, what do you call, organized with his notations, the song that he's singing, so receptive to people around. He makes people so very comfortable. Even though we hardly have any experience in front of him, he used to make us feel so comfortable. There were many times when I used to lose myself that I have to play flute there and start seeing him like this. And he used to come and say, Madam, kannak pedi astanda drishtiyak pedi. He never used to get annoyed. Arey, she's forgetting everything and all. He said, you know, nang kannak pedi niyo. And he used to kind of, it takes a big heart to be that. It's his show. It's his place, and it doesn't call for all those things. He does not have to do all of those things. But still, he used to do all those things for us. And he used to ask me, especially me, he used to ask, Nimag bedwa photo nan jote, allela nintidara, nangin nimge jagalagide ankotare, bandi, he used to call. Because I used to kind of feel very shy to go to him and talk to him and all that. And then he used to say, yaak jora nursala, nursi av power en maktare norna, imag nursi ni. He used to give me all those kind of moments that really mattered a lot. So he's one person who kind of, we missed him a lot. And we had actually planned one Ilaiyaraaja show with him in 2020. Yeah, in fact, after my show was released on YouTube, when I met him for another concert, he came up to me and asked, YouTube al akidira nana kalisbekund gotagilla nimge, you didn't send it to me. It's so nice. And why you did not send it to me? I said, sir, and why you don't want me to have, you don't want me in your concert? I was like, are what is this? What an opportunity. The same day we actually decided we want to have a show with him in 2020 May, but unfortunately it didn't happen. And in fact, even before he went into the hospital, he messaged me saying, maybe to all the people who had shows with him, he messaged saying, I'm not well, I'm going into the hospital, but God is there, we will come back and do the show. So that's something that didn't happen. That's something that really, yeah. So him, hey, SDP sir is, it's just not me, it's a lot of musicians from Karnataka. In fact, he's the only musician, I should say, who has a band locally. If he goes to Andhra Pradesh, he will have a Telugu band playing. If he's in Tamil Nadu, he will play with them. He used to come to Karnataka, he had his own band here. And he used to sing with any singer. He had no such reservations that he shouldn't sing with this person or that person. And he used to play with all of us. He gave that opportunity. And when the man of that stature talks about so many artists, naturally, all those people got the attention, and he really made a difference to a lot of people here. Yeah.
And any other special moment of recognition or a moment that you cherish and you're so glad that you are on this path and this journey that you have chosen?
When I was performing in one public show, there was this one lady who came. She was selling this groundnuts. So she made a groundnut mala and she came and she gave it to me saying, I don't have anything else to give you, but can I put this mala onto you? Can you play one song wearing that? That time was like, I was so moved, because how many people will want to give what they have, what they are selling and what their properties to someone else? And there's this one another lady who was selling bangles. And she put in a set of bangles onto my hands. So these kind of gestures really makes me feel at least I'm making a difference to those lives. That moment she was happy from whatever she's going through in the life. That moment she was happy and she was inspired. And there's one another auto driver whom I met, who was like, when I gave him the money, he said, this money, this note, I'm not going to spend. I'm going to keep this in the puja room. And I have two girls. I had kind of, for whatever reason, had stopped them from their education. But now, whatever it takes, even if I'm driving 6 hours more of auto, I've put them back to school. They're going to school because I saw you. I felt my children also can make a difference. So put them back to school. All these stories, when we listen to, we really feel God has given a lot. I'm blessed that way for the kind of, I have no reasons to complain at all. And I'm glad that he has put me in a place where at least I'm able to make a little change or difference to at least a few people around me.
I know. This is amazing, yeah. Amazing. Like you said, when people give all they have to you, it's so special. It's so special.
It is. Yeah.
And the last question, 3 life lessons, Ashwini, that you'd like to leave us with, because I'm sure with all these experiences, you may be having plenty, but your top 3 life lessons that you'd like to leave us with.
Never be guilty. Don't compromise. And always be happy.
Never be guilty. Don't compromise. Always be happy. And I think for this Women's Day, this is a very powerful message for the women, especially because we have all these 3 always hitting our heads when we are doing anything that we really love.
Correct.
When I was listening to your life, there was only one thought that went in my head, that life is what happens while we are busy planning. And you were not even planning. Life just gave you such a beautiful path and you made such a wonderful mark at each level with everyone you have met, and you've left an impact. God bless you. Continue to be the Ashwini Kaushik the world knows you as, and the wonderful human being more than anything else that you are. Stay blessed. honored to have had you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Thank you so much for having me here and the kind of words that you spoke about me. It really means a lot. And thank you so much.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.